On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, we're in the outdoor living hour with callers online, texters texting in, and room for your question if you hurry and act now. Call in at 1-888-767-4348 or text in to 411-923. We'll start this segment with Steve.
Hey, Rami.
Before yes, you ma'am. Do, give your text disclaimer. We keep telling people to text, and we're getting run over by text here. What's our disclaimer here?
120 characters, which is kind of hard because phones don't do that anymore. The old phones would do that. It would kind of help you limit.
Self-regulate you.
But these, at least the iPhones, you can type as long a message as you want. And then no pictures. The system does not take pictures.
And we're not going to guarantee every text gets an answer.
Oh, right. Right.
They can, if we don't get to them, they can send us a question at info@RosieOnTheHouse and we'll...
That disclaimer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Romy, we were just talking about composting before we went to break. And Miss Bobby called and wanted to know, can you use pecan leaves as for composting?
Yes. There's a lot of people that think that oak leaves and pecan leaves, because of the tannins or tannic acid that's in them, deems them unacceptable for composting, but that's not the case. They do take longer to break down. I was while you were doing that, I was kind of looking that up. And of course, if you have them in a lawn and you can run over them with a lawnmower first and kind of chop them up much finer before you put them in the compost, that's good. But there's a lady in here from Central Texas that says she lived and is knee deep in pecan leaves every winter and uses them and makes great compost. So just make sure they're composted well.
Just stir them in good, I guess, too.
Yep.
And then she also wanted to know, can she cut her pyracantha now or should she wait?
Well, you can. Usually they're full of nice red berries right now, and you'd kind of want to enjoy the color that the berries produce or show. But I would probably recommend waiting on most ornamentals till about the middle of February to prune. If you prune now, things don't regrow. So you have a very pruned-looking plant or a sheared-looking plant for the next month or 2 months. If you wait until about the middle or end of February to prune, they start flushing new growth right away and the plant recovers more quickly. So it doesn't look like it's just been pruned for very long.
Got it.
Very good. Now we'll get to Steve, who wants to know a little bit of stump removal. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good.
Well, listen, I finished yesterday on New Year's Day during halftime of various football games, finished cutting down a Palo Verde tree in my backyard. And now
you are a bad example to the rest of the men in Arizona, Steve.
I said halftime.
Well, as good as those games were, you might as well just stayed out and worked in the damn yard. They were terrible.
Yeah, well, the Michigan game came out as best as I could hope. But
which right. Michigan game?
Well, wasn't a very good game.
It depends on which side you're on, huh, guys?
Right.
Hey, so, anyway, I finished cutting down the Palo Verde tree, and I'm left with about a 16-inch tall stump that is about 20-some inches in diameter. And I want to kill the stump, but I don't want to use a real harsh chemical or anything like that. And I've been online. I've seen I've got a drill, you know, like 8 or 9 holes, an inch with an inch spade, and go down 12 inches. But there's so many different products that are out there on the market. I just wondered what you all would recommend as a way to kill off that stump.
Who? Well, you could put some rock salt down in the stump. You want to be careful using salt, as it can kind of sterilize the soil if you get it out away from the stump very far.
Right.
But if you drilled some holes and put some rock salt down in there, I can't think of anything else really natural or not. You know, most of the things, copper sulfate for years is what we all use. Now, copper's a naturally occurring. Here's yeah. where we get into the natural organic. Doesn't necessarily mean safe.
Anthrax is natural.
You know, anthrax is natural. Nicotine is natural. You know, there's a lot of things that are natural. Copper. So copper sulfate was the product that was usually used as a stump remover. They used it to put down sewer lines to kill roots, you know, those types of things. So, you know, rock salt's the only thing that comes to my mind that, you know, would be maybe the least toxic, for lack of a better word, caustic kind of a product. If you drilled holes, put it in the holes, kept it fairly isolated into the trunk of the tree, I don't think you'd have too much of an issue. I guess you could burn it. That's natural.
If you're, I check your city ordinance.
Yeah, there you go.
Before you go any farther on the fire, I have to say that as a disclaimer, because every time we say it, we get calls on people. Right. It's gonna burn.
Right.
All right. Let's get to Mike from Minnesota. Wants to talk about grapefruit tree. I doubt the grapefruit trees in Minnesota, but let's see. Good morning, Mike.
If it
Good
is,
morning.
It's inside.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
We are snowbirds, and we're in a park model in Mesa, Arizona.
I thought you were going to say courtside. Okay.
Oh. When we came down this year, our grapefruit tree had a lot of yellow leaves on it. And it appears that the one next door and a couple houses down have the same. They're on a common watering system. And I put a little fertilizer in it, and I turned the water up a bit so it was getting more water. But it's been a month, and it hasn't changed. And I'm wondering what I can do to preserve our beautiful grapefruit tree.
How often and how much was it watering, and how often and how much are you watering now?
Well, it waters daily,
yeah,
and there's no
too
open
much
field around it.
Too much water. Stop.
I would
don't pass go. It's too much.
2 gallons a day.
It's too much. It's too much. It's too often.
Okay. That's the answer I need.
Here's what happens: is that that might have been fine for the summer. Okay, even sure. Every day is too often in the summertime, but then. We very, very, very often see people that don't scale back their frequencies in the winter. We don't want you to change the duration. If it was watering an hour or whatever it was watering to get it through the summer, leave that duration the same. But it needs about a fourth the frequency now as it did to get through the summertime. Fertilizing probably helped. It probably did need that. But now that the soils are cold, and cool, the fertilizer is not going to have much of an effect until it starts to warm up. So you're probably not going to see a lot of change, unfortunately, in the color of your foliage until it starts to flush new growth come spring. I would fertilize it again in February, okay?
All right.
But cut back on that water. I mean, you know, if it's been watering every day, at least get it back to once a week or something. And you may not control the frequency of the watering, so it may be something you need to go to the management, or you need to literally just turn it off and hand water it through the winter time, or something. But
okay,
that'd be my advice. All right, you bet. And that, you know, there's just, we get this time of year a lot. Things are yellow. Things are not as green as they should. Lawns, citrus, all kinds of things, and folks just aren't rescheduling their water systems to accommodate for the cooler weather.
And a week of rain that's coming in the forecast.
Well, plus that. So they'll turn them off for a week or two.
Let's bring Greg into the conversation next online at 1-888-767-4348. As we clear a line, that's the best opportunity to get on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, gentlemen. Hey, a couple of callers ago reminded me of a question. I managed to get a hold of some good stumps from an ash tree that somebody I knew took down. And then shortly thereafter, I had a queen palm that I had to pull out. And I've got some major trimming to do. And that got me thinking, some of the other trees that grow well, that you see a lot here in the valley, do they make for suitable firewood? I know the pines, you don't want to burn in the chimney, and that's what I'm looking at, burning in the chimney, because of the residue it leaves. But what about some of the, like Palo Verde? I see a lot of grapefruit being taken down, palm trees, those sorts of things. Any thoughts on those other woods you don't hear so much about?
Well, Palo Verde has a real strong odor to it when you burn it. It burns okay. Palms, I wouldn't think it'd burn well. It's a very fibery, stringy kind of a wood. I never tried to burn it, but I don't imagine it burns great. Citrus is wonderful. Citrus is very hardwood. It burns great. Ash, of course, is a hardwood, burns great. Mesquite, everybody knows about. It's great for, very hard, very good for barbecuing, smoking.
Say a lot of restaurants have signature dishes designed around their mesquite burning.
Pine isn't that bad. It's very pitchy. It can burn pretty fast and pretty hot, and it can leave some residue in your chimney. So for outdoor burning, even pine may not be so bad. But the normal hardwood type ashes, elms, are the best. Mesquite's really good. Palo Verde, as I recall, just has it's a very strong smell. Now, ironwood, I think, is something you don't want to burn. It can be poisonous, but I doubt you're going to run across much ironwood. You don't want to try and cut it either.
And you can always ring our firewood providing buddy, Paul Bunyan, down in Tempe.
Guadalupe, actually.
He's got acres and acres and acres. I mean, the state hires him to go out and clear right-of-ways where they're putting in new roads or subdivisions and stuff.
I know he did a big... Well, I don't know if he did it, but he was talking with Game and Fish to clear a bunch of junipers that were taking over an area that they were trying to clear out to help preserve the antelope population.
Right, down in the southeast. And that was all done, and it's been very, very, very productive. Did you see that report from
Fishing
Game? I saw
the little video deal, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sonoida pronghorn are up 300%. Yeah.
So if you need juniper, he has that.
And probably a lot of mesquite, too. Juniper's good.
Juniper's good. Don't see a lot of junipers in people's yards. What he was trying to do is salvage things around town. But citrus is great. If you can find citrus wood, it burns really good.
I'm kind of having a hard time. There's so many. It used to just be the phones, but I've got the text screen to look at now, and we've got the email.
You've created a monster.
There's another one. I didn't create the monster. It's just the technology. There's so many other ways to communicate. I completely forgot about this one. There's if you stream from KTAR's app, our flagship station, there's an option on there to email the host, and we've got Warren's listening on the app. Because it comes in email from KTR app. He was obviously missed our pre-emergent conversation. And you were mentioned just a minute ago about the rains coming up and we could save water. We can also save a lot of weed control time by pre-emerging ahead of that rain.
Pre-emerging ahead of the rain is a great idea. Also, if you've got noticed a lot of our winter lawns have really yellowed out because of that cold weather. And if you didn't get them fed before that, it really causes them to yellow out. Well, the rains will warm the soil temperature up. So if you've got a yellow-looking winter lawn, it'd be a good time to get some fertilizer down before the rain, too.